Dr. Edward Brown, good morning. You are the CEO of the Ontario Telemedicine Network, which is a non-for-profit organization that provides health-related services and information using telecommunications technologies. First of all, I was wondering, how does the network work?
Okay. Hi, Pauline. Well, we're a network that is a collaborative network of about 670 sites now across the province of Ontario. These are all individual organizations that collaborate and work together to really deliver telemedicine services for patients and for providers. Basically, what we do as OTN is we basically have two things. One is we work on adoption, so we really help people understand how they can use telemedicine. We help individual providers start to use it. And organizations understand how they can deliver programs or receive programs. So that's kind of job one. And then job two is our support for the business process and the technology that makes telemedicine work. So we run a virtual private network over Ontario's eHealth Ontario network.
Okay.
That enables people to connect. We set the standards, the technical standards for that. We provide turnkey technology management and a technical support desk. And we also really support the business process, such as scheduling. We have a referral management and scheduling call center, and we also have a portal on the internet that enables people to go online and do their scheduling. We do training. We also provide a webcasting service, multi-point bridging service. The basic use for clinical events is really two-way video, where a health provider and a patient will meet. They can see each other, they can talk to each other. They also use medical devices like digital stethoscopes. We have handheld patient exam cameras so that you can see a wound or a rash. And some sites have endoscopic light sources and otoscopes. You can look in the eye, ears, nose, and throat. So really it's more or less just as if you were in the room together.
Okay, so really you are managing the relation between the patients and the healthcare professionals in terms of setting the appointments and you're also managing all the equipment and the internet connections, right?
Yeah, pretty close. Actually, all of the organizations kind of own their own equipment and their own studios. They have their own health professionals. We don't deliver any healthcare.
Okay.
We're actually the facilitators, so we really set the rules of the road. And make sure that everybody can work together, make sure people are trained, make sure people understand the privacy and security requirements. But really, it's all of those individual organizations and providers that do their business over this infrastructure.
Okay. And you also have education activities, I believe?
Yeah, education is very active. In the last fiscal year, we had over 9,000 educational events. And each of those events can be anywhere from, you know, 3 to 100 sites or more. We calculated in 07-08 that probably about 150,000 people were involved in video conference education over the network. There's all kinds of things happening. It's hard to really, summarize it, but really just programs happening all over the province from all kinds of centers, academic centers, non-academic centers, every health profession, every specialty.
What are the advantages of having a network for the patients, but also for healthcare professionals?
Well, patients basically love telemedicine. Their satisfaction rates in our last survey, just looking at the data here, 2008, 97% of patients were satisfied with their telemedicine visit, and 94% of them said they would use telemedicine again. So that's very powerful. So patients really appreciate this. For them, this is a very personal service. It provides them with improved access. It reduces their travel and enables their family members to come to appointments with them. So it's very powerful. Healthcare professionals, also the ones who use it, love it. Of course, there are many who don't use it. We'd like to get them to use it, but so we don't know what they're thinking. But certainly for the ones that use it, they also find it very powerful, and they feel that it's improving access to care for their patients and enabling them to really spread their knowledge and expertise to a much broader audience as well. Health professionals also appreciate the access to education. It really makes it much more accessible, avoids the travel, makes it convenient. And that happens both in rural areas and urban areas, where folks are able to sit in on grand rounds and catch education in the middle of their day.
So I know that you just said that the patients are very satisfied with telemedicine, but was it difficult before that to convince patients to use telemedicine?
Patients are actually pretty easy, so they kind of love it. It's harder to convince the providers to use it.
Okay.
So a lot of our focus now for many years has been, you know, introducing this to providers, making sure they understand that this is actually not really a new thing. It's been around for quite a while. There are two mainstream journals dedicated to research in this area that are part of Medline, so there's a big body of research. There's a lot of users around the world. So patients were easy. I think getting the providers going with it is really a lot of the work that we continue to do.
And do you know what are the main concerns that they have? Why they don't use telemedicine?
I think, you know, different people have different concerns. We've done quite a bit of market research to try to understand that. Some simply don't know about it, or it may not be convenient for them. Others may not see an application for it in their particular specialty. Some are not aware that it is, in fact, perfectly fine to do it according to the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario. They may not know that the CMPA, which is the malpractice insurance group for physicians, they may not know that they are, in fact, insured for telemedicine. And some don't even know that they get paid to do this because they can bill the Ontario Health Insurance Plan directly now for their telemedicine consultation. So I think it's really about awareness. It's about time and, frankly, some inertia, you know, changing what you do and trying to do something a bit different.
And what are the main medical applications that the Ontario Telemedicine Network use? And is there a medical application you're not offering now but you want to develop in the future?
Our busiest specialty is psychiatry, mental health and addiction, which is really huge and is growing very quickly. Second place is internal medicine, which is really a collection of different internal medicine specialties. Another really fast-growing area is tele-oncology, and a lot of the cancer centers are picking up on use for assessment, radiation chemotherapy assessment, and for follow-up appointments. Surgery, believe it or not, is very active. They're not actually doing surgery on the network, but certainly the pre-ops and the post-op follow-ups are very common. And the list goes on. There's lots of non-physician applications as well, like dietary encounters, so public health, nursing, diabetic encounters as well. So lots of different specialties. You asked me what's missing. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, you know, recently, probably our biggest shortages at this moment are dermatologists. We don't have enough consultant dermatologists there. There's a big demand for that. Neurology, we're kind of short on neurologists at the moment. We could use some more child psychiatrists, and I think probably any specialty out there, we probably have takers for. So we're really actively looking for consultants who are interested in developing a telemedicine practice.
I was going to ask you about the research activities. So you are working with other institutions to improve the use of telemedicine or find new fields of the use of telemedicine?
We're not really a research organization, but we have done we just finished a fairly major evaluation. We have another one that we're just starting. What we just evaluated was a new program called Telehome Care. Telehome care is a little different from traditional telemedicine in that what we do is we put monitoring devices and small terminals into patients' homes directly. These are patients with chronic disease, and we started out with about 800 patients with congestive heart failure and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And the research we did, or the evaluation, was with a consulting company to look at the outcomes. Which were quite amazing. It was actually in this initial trial, it looked like we were quite dramatically reducing rates of hospitalization for those two groups of patients. So that's part one. Part two is we're also now undertaking a benefits analysis. We're looking at the impact of telemedicine in primary care because we're rolling out to a lot of family health teams across Ontario. And we're also looking at the impact in emergency services as we roll out to more emergency applications. In terms of other research, there have been folks who've used the network as kind of a living lab who have done research and published a number of papers, some in diabetes and neurology come to mind. We've also are supporting the Canadian Space Agency in doing their development, and what we do is we actually link up the Canadian and NASA astronauts when they go up to the Arctic to a place called Devon Island in the summer. We support them with remote clinical care, and they also use the network to test some of their medical applications and their training for their Mars mission. I think that's probably really the bulk of what we do in the research side.
Well, that's a lot of things that you're doing.
We're busy.
Yes, yes, I believe that. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Brown, for your time. That was very interesting.
Great. Thank you very much, Pauline.